Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into another edition of the Basketball Show podcast here on 92.9thegame.com. My name's Andy Bunker.
And I'm Arthur Trish.
How are you, AT?
I'm good, my man.
Good to
see you. I'm going to call you Barry today, though.
Why are you going to call me Barry?
Well, because
I sound like Barry White? Thank you. I appreciate it. Sexy voice. I appreciate that.
Can't get enough of your love, babe. Since you told us you had to take some steroids today, and everyone has already kidded you about the size of your head, so I guess...
I now finally have an excuse for having such a large head because I'm on steroids. Yeah, I got bronchitis. Not a good disease or sickness for a radio person to have.
It just sounds painful when you say it.
It's bronchitis.
I've had that before.
Sucks.
During my NBA days, picked up, I think it wasn't malaria. I forget what it was. Dikembe Mutombo went to his homeland in the Congo and came back, and a bunch of us had to get vaccinated because of some illness he got. And,
wow.
Oh, you know I called him all kinds of names after that. But that shot we took it was certainly painful.
Any of those names that you could share on the podcast?
Nope.
Yeah, probably not podcast appropriate. Anyway, thanks for being with us here as we get you ready for the All-Star break. Believe it or not, the All-Star break is upon us after one more game. Hawks play the Knicks tonight. Not going to talk a ton about that game because by the time we post this, the game might have already happened.
That's a given.
But we can talk about the Hawks pre-All-Star break and everything that's going on with them. We'll get to that in the second quarter. All-Star weekend in general in the third quarter, and then just sort of mid-season awards and the Paul George, James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo MVP discussion in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But let's start here and the story of the last couple weeks with the Pelicans and Anthony Davis and the Lakers and LeBron James and everything that's going on. It's a real mess, isn't it?
A total mess, and it's unfortunate for all sides because at the end of the day, the fans are the one who's taking the biggest blow of all because it's a franchise that hasn't really established a level of consistency. Given the fact I'm from New Orleans, I know a little bit about what has gone on with the teams they've had in that area. First, the Jazz having moved, and then the Pelicans, who were initially the Hornets, and who had to move because of Hurricane Katrina. And then it was debated as to whether or not they would come back after half a season in Oklahoma City. They came back, and the name ended up getting changed, and they had some interesting players at that time, and then the Chris Paul deal that fell apart, and the commissioner intervened on that and refused to let that deal happen for the Lakers. Chris then goes to the Clippers, and now you've got this mess.
Well, that's the shame of it in New Orleans is they've been close a number of times with Hall of Fame type players. I mean, Chris Paul, Tyson Chandler, and that group that they had down there, David West was
David
on
West,
that team.
That's right.
That was a really good team, and unfortunately it fell apart.
Coming off of last season, they pushed they eliminated the Trailblazers.
They did in four games. They swept them.
And ended up winning one game against the Warriors, which was something they certainly could build upon. But once they decided that, or things fell apart with the Boogie Cousins deal, it seems like from that point on, everything has gone south for them, literally. And since that time and now this situation, it just doesn't bode well for the franchise, the city, its fans. And I don't think the NBA comes out looking good in this situation as well, because if Anthony Davis wants to leave, and while I don't have any problems with the trade not going through, from a Pelican standpoint, because you need to get whatever is the best possible deal for you. If that means he sits for the rest of this season, then that's fine. If you don't want to play him, then that's your prerogative too. You're still paying him.
It should be their prerogative,
right.
But the NBA said it's not.
The NBA said no, and they want him. And because if it wasn't Anthony Davis, superstar, I don't think they would necessarily care. But because it's who he is, and they've got all these national, as a matter of fact, I believe they're on national TV tonight. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they want him to play for them for the rest of the year. But if he puts forth an effort like he did in this most recent game, 3 points, and then he gets in front of the cameras and he's blasting everybody under the sun, and that's out of character for him to begin with. And I like Anthony Davis, love him to death. But if his heart's not in it, then just let him sit. And maybe don't even have him around, because you don't need that negative influence with everybody else connected with that team.
Doesn't it feel like I'm all choked up about Anthony Davis.
Were you a Brady Bunch fan, by the way? You're about to sound like that. Bobby
Brady. Yeah, I'm going through puberty. It's great. I sound like Barry Bonds, Bobby Brady, you name it. Doesn't it just kind of feel like an agent in this situation has his hands too deep into the cookie jar? I understand Rich Paul is LeBron's agent, and he's AD's agent, and he's connected all across the league. And agents oftentimes do things like this, but he did it wrong. I think he mismanaged the situation to now where the Lakers and LeBron, clearly there's a discord there. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, clearly there's a discord there. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Davis, who by all accounts up until this point in his NBA career has been a pretty good dude, like obviously a great player, but a guy with a good reputation.
Exactly.
And now he comes off looking like this petulant child for something that, I mean, I'm sure he wanted to get traded as well, but it just seems like the puppet master that is Rich Paul has really made a lot of people look bad in this situation, and he's not getting the criticism that he deserves.
Yeah. And he overplayed his hand.
Yeah,
and I don't understand why he elected to make this. First of all, if you're going to make a trade of that magnitude, you try to keep it as hush-hush as you possibly can until it goes down. And I think New Orleans got into its feelings, and I can understand that.
Oh, me too,
This is a guy who, just up until a year ago, you gave a max deal, and now he's ready to go all of a sudden. And you're a franchise that's trying to get to a certain level, and if he happens to leave— now you have nothing, and you basically have to start all over again. And who's to say you'll ever get a player of that caliber ever again?
Right.
And so, Rich is the guy who I don't know him. I know of him, obviously. But he overplayed his hand, and now his name has come up in the Boston Celtics Kyrie Irving case. And whereas the Celtics also think that he's been putting out these Kyrie Irving stories, and whether that's true or not,
I believe it at this point.
I wouldn't doubt that either, because right now he is the Scott Boras of the NBA.
He is.
And he doesn't care about that. He doesn't need to care about anybody else's his reputation and how people view that. But it's going to make teams leery of dealing with him in the future. And he's getting a nice stable of athletes to work with. And, he was able to get Tristan Thompson a heck of a deal out of Cleveland. That goes without saying. But back to New Orleans, it's unfortunate because I don't know where they go as a franchise from here. There's going to be dominoes to fall from this.
Well, that's a great question, the way you put it, about where they go.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, and I'm not trying to come at this from a selfish standpoint.
Sure.
I think you know how I feel about teams relocating.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when stuff like this happens and you have ownership like the Pelicans have, and you have just the way that leadership down there has been, it's not good. There's not a solid footing at all for that franchise. Sometimes stuff like this leads to cities giving up on teams and teams moving. That would be awful if that's what the domino effect was of this Anthony Davis situation.
Well, it's going to happen because from a fan standpoint, why would you buy another ticket to go to see a Pelicans game for the rest
Certainly
of the year?
Certainly not this year,
Because, first of all, you want to see effort and guys giving 100%. And if Anthony Davis is not going to play up to the best of his capabilities, and we know what he put on the court the other night certainly wasn't close to what he's capable of.
1 for 9, 3 points in 24 minutes.
And there's no reason for – I wouldn't pay for that. And so Gail Benson has got a lot to consider in the offseason. And even when her husband owned the team before his passing, I often wondered why they allowed, and the NBA as well, why they allowed the Saints franchise people to kind of oversee and run the basketball operations. First of all, you've got two seasons that kind of run somewhat together in the months of October through December and January, depending on how the NFL season goes for the Saints. And you can't do both.
It's a hard job.
It's a very difficult job. You just cannot
do both. People that dedicate all of their attention to one of those jobs get fired all the time.
Right.
The idea to try to split that between an NFL team and an NBA team is ridiculous. I'm with you. It would be a real shame to see New Orleans lose a team again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were a Jazz fan
mm-hmm.
as a kid. They went to Utah. The Pelicans are there now. And look, It also is bad timing with Tom Benson having just passed away. Maybe they'll decide to sell the team. I hate that stuff because there are a lot of kids that live in New Orleans right now, just like you did when you were a kid rooting for the Jazz, that love Anthony Davis, love Jrue Holiday, loved Chris Paul, and love that organization, that don't have anything to do with ownership decisions and agents demanding trades and things like this, that would be heartbroken if the team left.
Well, and from a city standpoint, it also helps with your economy, because when New Orleans is known as a convention city, there's always something going on.
Right.
Well, and on those convention nights, when those conventioneers have or need something else to do outside of participating in their convention, well, there was maybe a basketball game going on. They could go over to the arena, spend some money, and there's more coming into the coffers.
And if Anthony Davis is playing or somebody like that, then you might go.
Right. And so you can rest assured, if they happen to leave the city, there will be plenty of other cities in line ready to try to gain their services, because let's face it, Seattle didn't deserve that to lose that team when they did. They're still clamoring to get another team. And you've got the Las Vegas influence that's been dangling for some time. Now that the Raiders are planning on going there, you have a successful hockey franchise that went to the Stanley Cup playoffs and championship round last year. It wouldn't surprise me if they decide to want to get into the game. So it would be a shame if the NBA lost New Orleans twice, because as we can clearly say in this city, as it related to the NHL, you lose a team and a franchise twice in over your existence, you're never going to get one again.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Once is hard.
Right.
Losing a team once and getting it back is hard. Losing it twice, I mean, the league just looks at that city and says, oh, it just doesn't work there.
That's right.
Whether it's ownership, whether it's beyond the actual abilities of the city, it has nothing to do with the fans.
Exactly.
NHL could work great in Atlanta if Arthur Blank owned the team, or somebody who owned the team that cared about
committed.
It. Right. It's all, anyway. There's some other stuff we were going to talk about at the beginning. Maybe we can get back to Kyrie and Jeremy Lin and some of that stuff at the end. Those conversations will also be important as the season goes on, because the Kyrie in Boston, that ties into Anthony Davis and Rich Paul, like you said. It's all interconnected right now in the NBA. But we'll get to the second quarter here and the Atlanta Hawks as we come to the All-Star break. It's not actually the midpoint of the season.
What are they, 65 games or
something? Yeah, it's like, three quarters of the season, basically. But it's a point of the season with the Hawks where I think we can say some things about them definitively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of those things is this group of young guys, led by John Collins especially, but Trae Young as well, and Kevin Huerter and some of these other guys, look pretty good. That's an impressive group of young players.
They went out to the West Coast, and by the looks of things, before they left, you probably, out of the seven-game road trip, which included a couple of East Coast, one Central time zone game in Chicago, and then they finished it up in Washington, you probably looked at that seven-game road trip and said, man, if they came back with they couldn't come back 500, but you thought if they won three of those seven games, that would be a successful road trip. Well, they ended up winning four of the seven games, and some of those games you looked at and you were like, wow, those were teams you didn't expect them to really have a chance against. But they played hard. They played. They made each game competitive. And so I think Lloyd Pierce is certainly pleased with at least from that stretch of games, was pleased with the effort that his team put forth. Now, when they came back home, they didn't really get off to a best of start. They had lost two games consecutively until they beat the Lakers the other night, which was an impressive win for them. And I kind of thought going into that game, they had a great chance of winning it because of a couple of reasons. The Lakers had gotten blown out in their previous game, and the fact that you had a feeling that the young guys would elevate their talents going up against LeBron and the rest of them.
That's what Trae does.
Show out. Yeah,
Trae has a knack we've seen through about 55 games in his career of really rising to the occasion. And there haven't been, unfortunately, that many occasions this year because they were on national TV once, I think, early in the year against the Mavericks. Had a great fourth quarter in that game. Mm-hmm. When he's played against Colin Sexton, who he had a little bit of a rivalry with in college, he's played great in those games. LeBron James, the other night in town, he showed up and was phenomenal. 22 points, 14 assists, passed the ball between LeBron's legs a couple times, which is just the audacity to do something like that, as just the cockiness of a rookie, which I just love. And then the more important thing is, was isolated against LeBron on the perimeter a couple times and went by him. Got to the rim.
They took advantage of, now, first of all, I didn't think the Lakers played worth their squat in that game.
No, they were a disaster in that game.
It was the last game of their road trip. I think some of their guys LeBron in particular, were looking to get out of town because I think after the game he said he was going to take a quick trip before he even went to Charlotte for All-Star.
And they'd also been in Atlanta for a couple nights, which we know what that does to people sometimes.
They played a Sunday afternoon game on national TV in Philadelphia. Right. So whether they had any parties or not, we don't know because they didn't make them public like they usually do.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have two nights in this town coming
Monday
off a
night,
road trip.
Magic City.
Oh yeah, they took full advantage of Atlanta. I'm sure. And so, but give the Hawks credit. It's not their fault that the Lakers took the game lightly.
No.
Because who came out of the game?
For the Lakers?
Not came out of the game, but had a great first quarter. Kyle Kuzma.
Oh, yeah.
Had a great first quarter in that game.
And then he went ice cold.
A bit of a dip in the second quarter. And I think he finished the game with maybe 34 points somewhere in
the
neighborhood.
Kuzma had that? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's what I think I remember. I like what I've seen out of the Hawks of late because they played much better together. And they've gotten a lot of their injured players back into the lineup. And I think out of everything that has happened with them, I've been most impressed with the head coach more than anything else. Lloyd Pierce's demeanor, to me, is the same way now than it was game one of the regular season. When he talks to – and I often look at his post-game press conferences, win or lose, just to see how he's handling that situation. Because, once again, when Mike Woodson had his first foray into the head coaching ranks, we went 13-69. I've told you about that several times. And I could see, and he had a much better team than this bunch of Hawks have on the court right now is from a talent standpoint. But you could tell how it was wearing on him because he had come from a championship run with the Pistons, and he wanted and expected better from his team back then. Well, Lloyd came from another program in Philadelphia, it wasn't like Philadelphia was burning up the NBA playoff ranks while he was there. They were building the process.
It wasn't like Lloyd Pierce was a hot commodity on the coaching search. That's what I love about it is, and absolutely, Lloyd Pierce deserves as much credit as anybody for what's going on this season. You got to give Travis Schlenk some credit too for being able to identify Lloyd Pierce as a guy who could jump into that role.
Yeah.
Again, a name that wasn't being talked about a lot, certainly not enough for media to be talking about. I'm sure in the NBA world, Lloyd Pierce is a name that carries a lot of respect. And you saw that when he got the job. Some of his players from Philadelphia showed up to his introductory press conference down here just because they liked him so much. So, I got to give I got to give credit to Travis Schlenk for being able to go out and get a guy like that on a budget, by the way. Lloyd's not like they backed up the Brinks truck down here. I like what's going on from Schlenk to Pierce to these young players. It's a nice little foundation
now. And let's face it, your first coaching job, you're in a rebuilding situation, and you don't know how long that rebuilding situation is going to go.
Right.
You hope with the draft picks they're able to acquire this summer that they turn out to be high enough to where they can bring additional talent into this team. While they will have, I think I read something this past weekend where they have the third most cap space going into free agency, but that doesn't guarantee they'll be able to get any of those guys because the one conundrum with this franchise is that not since 1996 have they been able to get a quality free agent, and that was Dikembe Mutombo. And so it hasn't been a real destination point for free agent candidates over the decades. You hope that changes with this new regime. We won't know that until this summer, but at least the foundation of Schlenk and Pierce and the players of Young, Collins, and Herter. I think that's a very good place to start. And hopefully Vince Carter is interested in coming back another season. I know Chris Vivlamore of the AJC wrote a story this week that maybe alluded to the fact that Vince may be even thinking about that.
Yeah.
But he also said in the same breath, there was one time at practice this year I thought about retiring on the spot. So so we'll see. We'll have to wait and see on that because he's been a very valuable addition to this squad. And plus, I think he's played better with the Hawks this year than he played in Sacramento a year ago.
He's been really good at times. I mean, he's come up huge in fourth quarters and won some games for the Hawks. That's probably the double-edged sword of playing with young guys.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it makes you feel younger at times. But then other times it probably makes you feel a lot older. Like you do something and it takes you 3 days to recover from it, whereas John Collins goes up there and touches the rafters and he's ready to go for a jog afterwards.
Well, you know, it's like probably like having a bunch of children. You tell them one time, okay, I need you to clean up your room. You tell them the second time, okay, you're getting a little edgy. And when it comes to that third time, you're like, okay, don't make me come in there. And so I'm sure he's had some times when he's sick of every single last one of them that roster.
Well, you could see it on the court. At the end of games sometimes, guys make decisions, and he's just like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Come on. But that's the great part about him, though, and Lloyd mm-hmm. Pierce, that same sort of demeanor of even if you are mad at someone doing something stupid, the ability to, all right, calm down.
Yeah.
That's a 20-year-old kid. He didn't mean to. I'm going to try to articulate to him how to do it differently next time.
To help make him better.
And everybody to a man has talked about how Vince has been so important to that locker room. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
He said at the beginning of the year, there's a 90% chance that this is his final season. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that because of the fun that they've had, some of the wins that they've had that were unexpected, and you know maybe the final 30 games of this season go well also, maybe that 10% of him coming back actually happens. I'd love to see it too.
I think the one certainty that we know with Vince Carter, maybe after going through the season, he'll never coach.
No, he doesn't.
I don't
coach.
Think he has any desire to ever get involved with that.
I think he's happy to transition into the media.
Uh-huh.
I think he'll be phenomenal at it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get a third co-host on the basketball show
there
podcast.
We'll take it.
I don't know if we can afford it.
Come on, Eric Kennedy.
But we'll take it. All right, with that, let's transition to the third quarter, and well, there's more Hawks to talk about here as All-Star Weekend is upon us. We've got Team Giannis, the Greek Freak team, versus Team Tamper with LeBron James. I love the way that LeBron went about putting together his roster. All guys that are going to be free agents.
He knows he can talk to them all weekend.
He can do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
He can tamper all weekend long, which is just, say what you want to say about LeBron. He is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like he the business side, and he's a great player as well, but the business side of his basketball career has just been phenomenal and probably underrated. And this is a beautiful way that he went about putting together his All-Star team.
I mean, let's look at it. He's got Kevin Durant,
free agent
this year. Kyrie Irving,
free agent
this year. Kawhi Leonard, free agent this year. And he's got additional guys like James Harden, LaMarcus Aldridge, Bradley Beal, Anthony Davis,
free agent.
Damian Lillard, Ben Simmons, potential free agent. He's also represented by Rich Paul.
I think Dame has a player option too.
Oh,
yeah.
Didn't know about him.
Not that he's not going to leave Portland.
Klay Thompson.
It's just speaking into existence. Yeah, Klay's a free agent, exactly.
Karl Anthony Towns and his buddy Dwayne Wade, who is always a free agent up late. So while I think Dwayne's going to hold to the fact that he will definitely get it up at the end of the year, this is a very interesting roster that he has. But I'm not selling Team Giannis short at all, because they've got some nice size, some guys who have won MVP awards, and some guys who are up for MVP awards. I mean, you got Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Paul George, Kemba Walker, who's going to be in front of his home fans in Charlotte, so you know he's going to bring
his A-game.
That's
always a smart player to have on your team.
No doubt about it. Blake Griffin, Nikola Jokic, Kyle Lowry, Chris Middleton, Dirk Nowitzki, Victor Oladipo, who was on the roster but will not play because of injury, D'Angelo Russell, and I'm happy to see that because he's a young guy who is playing for a team in Brooklyn who maybe doesn't grab a whole lot of attention, but he's having a fantastic year. And Nikola Vucevic, as well as the other MVP, Russell Westbrook, who came to him via trade.
Right.
If you remember.
Right.
So
they made the trade during
working.
The draft.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun. Yeah. I love the All-Star game. I know you do too. Mm-hmm. People give it a hard time because maybe the competitive edge isn't what it once was back in the 90s and the 80s, and that's true. I mean, I can't lie about that. You watch the game. Guys don't try hard until there's about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, but hopefully the game is close enough when there's 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter that there's an entertaining finish, but I don't really care about that. I just like seeing the guys get out there and do stuff that they don't normally do and see all these great players play together and see, you know, there's going to be a four-point line, which is going to be really funny
to
watch. Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
They're going to have that out there. So there's going to be a lot of 45 or 35-footers attempted. And look, a lot of these guys can make them.
You mean Trey won't be in this game?
Well, Trey might try to. I bet that'll be in the futures game that Trey and John Collins will play in as well. But Damian Lillard and Stephen Curry and the guys like this can shoot from out there, and it's not just a heave.
Yeah.
It's not a Hail Mary. Like, those are shots for these guys these days.
Guys.
Yeah, they like to shoot from out there.
And you know, Joel Embiid is going to try one. Is what he does.
Yes.
And so, I'm looking forward to the game because, like as you said, it's something that we've all grown up on, and over the years, we've had its good moments, we've had its bad moments, and now that the guys have seemingly taken a little bit more control and they've been able to pair and do these rosters differently than just relying on the fan voting. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out on Sunday.
You've been to a lot of All-Star games. Mm-hmm. Any favorite All-Star game moments from your years in the league?
It goes without saying. It was the year in Orlando when Magic played after he had made his announcement about getting HIV.
Because, is that 90?
I want to say 91, maybe, okay. 92. But it was there was some apprehension from the players going into that game, Karl Malone and Mark Price and guys like that. And I get it to a certain degree, but... once the fears were cast aside, it turned into a great event, and down the stretch of the game was where it really was outstanding. I mean, guys trading three-point baskets back and forth, and Magic became a better three-point shooter as his career went on. But in that particular game, it was like every time he touched the ball, it went in the basket.
And wasn't that the one where he called out, like Isaiah came out and guarded him, hit a three on him.
He called out Michael.
Michael hit a three on him. Yeah, that's
and
so great.
So the crowd in Orlando just went bonkers. And so
if you have
away.
Not seen the fourth quarter of that game, you can find it on YouTube. It's totally worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basketball history all playing out. In like a 7-minute span, so go check it out.
And he walked away with the MVP. And outside of that game, it would have been the game in Cleveland when the NBA had its 50th year anniversary. And the fact that it wasn't the game that is a memory for me, it was the fact that most of the all-time 50
greatest players
was on hand for that particular game. And those who had passed away obviously weren't there. I think Jerry West wasn't there because of a prior commitment, which I was a little disappointed at because Jerry was my favorite player growing up. But to have that much of the NBA's history on hand, it was just something to behold. And so everywhere you turned that particular weekend, you were bumping into the greats of the great. And I don't think any league has been able. I think the MLB was able to do that with one of its most recent All-Star games within the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
The NFL was able to do it with their MVPs of Super Bowls for their 50th year. But anytime you can get that much history in a room, if you're a sports junkie like we are, oh, man, you're going to remember that forever.
Yeah, that's awesome. You casually drop these, oh, yeah, I was at that game sometimes. Like, wait, what? You were at that game when Magic did that? What were we talking about? The Jordan spectacular move where he brings the layup down?
The one where you hear Marv Albert go, oh, what a spectacular move by Michael Jordan. And so
Marv Albert's still calling games. So
the NBA had me in to assist with their PR efforts during the finals.
That's
and
awesome.
It just happened to be that game at the old Chicago Stadium. And I mean, the way that building vibrated when he made that move, I will never forget it.
Gonna be a lot of Jordan this weekend too, by the way, with the All-Star game in Charlotte.
And it won't be because Michael's trying to seek all that attention. It's because it's in his city, he owns the Hornets, and it's an opportunity for the NBA to gain additional attention by being attached to the Michael Jordan name. We happened to watch before we got in this room to do this podcast that his son had a shoe exhibit of a lot of the Jordan team, Jordan brand, Jordan gear that they produced over the years. Some shoes we had seen before. Some
Let's
shoes
check,
and
you're wearing Jordans as we speak.
As a matter of fact, I think these are Griffey's baseball.
Oh, nice. Those look very comfortable.
Yeah, and isn't the day that goes by you won't find me in some type of Jordan something, whether it's
true.
A hat, T-shirt, sweats.
What a wonderful
socks.
Job we have. Wear Jordan sweats to work. the dunk contest should be really fun. Obviously, from a local perspective, John Collins is going to be in it. He was asked about that on Dukes and Bell yesterday, talking about where he's drawing inspiration from. Nice to be playing with Vince Carter, maybe get a little bit of inspiration from him. Dominique Wilkins is in the organization, maybe get a little inspiration from him. He also mentioned that if he needs a pass in the dunk contest, which probably he will, most guys do that, Trae Young could be involved in the dunk contest as well. So I'm really, John is a ridiculous leaper. Like, we've seen him, his athleticism is off the charts.
Right.
What we haven't seen is the creativity.
That's right.
But he's crazy coordinated, so we know that he's capable of it. I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
I'm surprised he's the favorite in this.
Because, is he?
Yeah. John Prickey said this on the morning show one day last week, and I was like, really? And he said, yeah, he's like a 2-1 favorite. And I was like, with Dennis Smith, Miles Bridges in it? I'm not sure what Hamidou Diallo has up his repertoire.
Neither do I.
Dennis Smith would be my favorite going in because he's short and he's able to get up off of the floor.
Yeah, short guys have an advantage.
A big advantage. And Miles Bridges, because we watched a lot of what he was able to do in Villanova, and he's had some flashes of brilliance. And this is rookie season in the
NBA. And it's in Charlotte, too, so that helps.
And it's in Charlotte, so he's going to have a little bit of a home court advantage. So it'll be good luck to John. I hope he's able to bring home the title because he's got a lot to live up to being wearing that Hawks jersey because Dominique won the event twice, should have won it three times. Spud Webb won it once. We happened to speak to Spud yesterday on the morning show. And then Josh Smith brought out the old Dominique 21 jersey in the year he won in Denver.
So obviously those guys all won. Mm-hmm. Neek didn't win. He was in it three times, right? Mm-hmm. Dominique was. Mm-hmm. Lost the one to Jordan.
No, he was in it four times.
He was in it four times.
Lost the year to
Spud.
Yeah,
that's right. So at least a Hawk won one of those years.
Right.
But so Neek was 2 for 4. Mm-hmm. Spud Webb won one of them. Mm-hmm. I think Josh Smith was only in it once.
Didn't repeat.
Has any other Hawk ever been in it? Besides
Stacey Augmon.
Oh, Augmon was
Stacey
in it. Okay,
was
and he
in
didn't
it
win.
One year, the Plastic Man himself. And I don't recall anybody else in my years.
Darvin Ham was in it, but he wasn't with the Hawks then.
At the time.
Bob Sura was in it, but he wasn't blamed for the Hawks at that time. So anyway, John, you're right. John Collins has a lot to live up to, and I think that he can. What do you remember, I guess, a favorite dunk contest moment? Because I've got a Vince Carter dunk contest story that I need to tell you.
The Vince one clearly is by far the best. beyond the Jordan Neek years when they were going head-to-head and against each other, the year that Vince won in Oakland, I think it was 2000, where he even gave you the motion.
It's over.
It's over. Yeah. As he walked away from having hung through the rim. I was always amazed that Tracy McGrady never won because
Tracy would have won that year if it wasn't for Vince.
And the other guy who I was always surprised never won was Sean Kemp because in games, the guy was out. Oh, he was amazing.
See, but that's what I'm worried about with John Collins is because John Collins, amazing in-game dunker, just like Kemp was. Mm-hmm. But when it was time to get creative and do, you know, just by yourself type dunks, Kemp never really had that creative flair, I guess. There was a couple ones that he threw down. He had the one where he threw it behind his back and caught it. He had the crazy cock back where he looked like a sprinter in midair was unbelievable. But yeah, I'm with you. It would have been cool to see.
Now, my one aggravating moment with the slam dunk contest, it might have been the same year that Josh Smith won it, was when Birdman took like 23 dunks before he made one.
I know what you're talking about. That was the year Nate Robinson won it.
It was Nate?
Nate won it three times, but that was the first year Nate won it. Nate took 20 times as well, but the best thing that happened to Nate was Birdman took 25.
Right.
So everybody remembers Birdman being a joke.
I thought they had destroyed it forever.
Yeah.
They would never bring it back.
That was brutal.
It was excruciating to watch. But we've gotten beyond that, and while there have been some years where you're like, he won? And you'd have to go back and look through the list, and you're like, oh, yeah, he did win. Now, granted, D. Brown brought a little flair to it when he was pumping up the Reeboks
and stuff
like that.
Yeah, the Reeboks and the cover your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And then debate as to whether or not he was able to see.
Sabalos could definitely see through that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
It was said, tried that first.
Yeah, he had the bandana on his eyes.
I guess the other disappointment I would have is that LeBron never tried it.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Kobe did it once, won it, and didn't have to do it again.
Right.
But I think every one of that caliber needs to do it at least one time.
Yeah.
And we had the debate on the morning show this morning prior to our taping of this podcast that John Fricke indicated that next year we'll be looking for Zion Williamson to do it. There's no guarantee.
No, there's not.
He'll do it. We hope
that
he
does. I hope he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's the next big thing coming to the league. It would be nice.
But you're right. You would have liked to have seen LeBron do it.
Exactly.
He was in the McDonald's All-American Slam Dunk Contest as a senior, and he won it. Although I think J.R. Giddens probably should have won it, but that's neither here nor there. That's the last time we saw LeBron in a dunk contest, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
And look, LeBron.
Because if you had done it in your rookie year, okay, we could live with you never having done it again.
That's fine. Even if you didn't win, who cares?
And the other thing is, the NBA, it's time for the NBA to up this ante, because maybe that's what we will get. That what will bring some of these other guys into the competition. $50,000 to these guys, okay, that's meal money.
And no offense to John Collins, Dennis Smith, Hamidou Diallo, these guys. It's not the same as if you had the stars.
They wouldn't be in it.
They wouldn't be in it. And again, that's okay. Yeah. That's fine. Or you can have them be in it. And also, if you go back to having 8 guys in it. Mm-hmm. But whatever. Either way. All right. With that, we get to the fourth quarter. Kind of mid-season because it's All-Star break. But the MVP race seems to be shaking out a little bit. I also do want to tell you that the Vince Carter dunk contest story of mine as well, and how Vince got me dumped. got me dumped in high school because of
his
dunk. Yeah, so here's what happened, AT. It was the night of it was my freshman year of high school, the Vince Carter dunk contest. And it was a dance. It was a formal dance where the girls invited the guys.
Ah, Sadie Hawkins.
Yeah, that's what it's called in a lot of places. For whatever reason, in Seattle, we called it Tolo.
Okay.
I have no idea, but, you know, regionally we have different terminology or whatever. So it was Sadie Hawkins dance, right? And so I had been invited by this girl, and we weren't, like, dating. I was a freshman in high school, but we kind of were, as far as you can be in freshman year of high school.
Okay.
And it seemed like that probably was going to happen if the dance went well. But the Vince dunk contest was the same night, and we're on the West Coast, so it's a little earlier there. So we're watching it. And it's going, and we're seeing what Vince is doing, and I'm there with my buddy, and we don't want to stop watching it. So we're the dance is starting at 9. It's probably like 9:15 at this point. We can't leave.
Are you dressed for this?
Oh, we're dressed. We're in our tuxedos and all this. And I want to see what happened at the end. So we sit there and keep sitting there and keep sitting there. By the time it's over, it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and his parents finally give us a ride to the dance. And this is before cell phones and all that. So they're just sitting there at the dance like, where are these dudes? Like, why aren't they here yet? I show up. They were so mad. They were so mad. Like, what was I going to do? I wanted to see Vince.
Did you get to dance?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but never again. Like, there was not a second date after that. So because of Vince Carter and his great dunk contest performance, I missed my first chance at a girlfriend.
Now, where is this young lady nowadays?
I don't know. I'm friends with her on Facebook. I think she has I think she's married.
Okay.
But I'm married too, happily.
Okay.
So we both recovered from that night.
Okay.
But if it wasn't for Vince Carter, maybe I would have had more romantic success earlier in high school.
Well, maybe you shouldn't post this podcast on Facebook.
Well, she's not going to listen. But she knows why. Like, why are you guys late? Well, I mean, it was the dunk contest. You got to be kidding me. Vince was doing 360 windmills. What do you want me to do? He put his whole arm in the rim. I have no regrets.
I don't blame you. Hey, that was a hell of a night.
It was a great night. All right, now, as for the MVP conversation, who do you got? Harden?
Nope. I've got
Paul George. Oh, Paul George.
Paul George is on a heck of a run right now, and he has the Oklahoma City Thunder in, I think they're third in the West behind Golden State and
Denver.
And I didn't expect this team to be that good this year, and certainly not in this position as they are right now, because while this is year two with him with OKC, he seems to have elevated his game to another level, and Russell is still able to get his triple doubles and not feel the need to have to control the ball all the time or try to score as many points and be the leading scorer all the time either. And I just think Paul's playing the best basketball of his career. And while James Harden is certainly, you can count on him to continue his 30 to 40 points a game, and sometimes he's up to 50 or 60 depending on the night. I just can't give it to a guy who's dominating the ball nearly as much as he is. And I don't think I'm alone in that feeling. We've talked about this before. It's not the most attractive basketball for me to watch. And whereas Paul's production seems to come within the flow of the game, it doesn't appear to be selfish. Doesn't seem like his teammates are running around observing what he's doing. It's in the flow of the game. So right now, he would be my leader in the clubhouse.
Harden had a bucket last night where he dribbled 24 times.
Oh my!
Before
God.
He hit a three, it's unbelievable. Like you're Austin Rivers or one of his teammates. You're just standing there. I'm ready, but I know he's not going to pass it to me. So what difference does it make?
And see, this is why I say his game is not. It's attractive to some, and I get that. But for me, I was more pleased to see his shot get blocked by Josh Okogie. I was like, yes!
That was a hell of a play by Okogie,
And because he gets all the calls, he takes the most steps, and he creates a move here or there, you're like, that's not legal.
It's not legal.
And they let it go, and so it's like he has all the advantages right now.
What's amazing about him is he's pushing the boundaries every year to where, like, that little hop step back thing that he created a couple years ago, clear, it's a travel, but it was borderline.
Yeah.
Like, you could argue about whether or not it was a travel. And then last year, he kind of took it to another level where clearly it was a travel, but he had been getting away with that one thing, so now he can do this. He did one this year where he took five steps.
Yeah.
But they don't call it Because it's a gather step or a, what was it, a crab dribble. Remember right. that was LeBron's thing back in the day?
And now you have other guys doing Bradley Beal a couple of nights ago.
Steph tried to get away with it and got called for it.
Yeah, and this guy is a two-time MVP, three-time champ. And you want to give him a break? I'm like, come on, man. But, yeah, right now, Paul would be my number one. James would be two. I don't know who I would have behind them.
That's
right
interesting because I go. Giannis is my number one. I got Giannis as the MVP.
I forgot about
all
Giannis.
The different stuff that he does. Right. He's obviously having a great season statistically as well, but it's just sort of his emergence year. Like they're the one of the top two teams in the East. I think Bud's probably going to be coach of the year again.
I can see that.
Mike Budenholzer might be coach of the year again, which might be a little frustrating for some Hawks fans.
They've been consistent from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they've been good all year.
Golden State hit a bit of a lull for a law for them is a four game losing streak. But Milwaukee really hasn't gone through that kind of patch. And you hope they don't because on the back end of the season, they certainly want to remain the number one team in the East and have home court advantage throughout the playoffs, the Eastern Conference side. But Giannis is certainly worthy of being considered as the top MVP candidate as well. It's going to be interesting to see how these votes work itself out this year because in the East, you could have Paul Westbrook, you can't discount him either. I mean, he's putting up triple-double performances, and it doesn't appear to be as selfish as some might think it was a couple of years ago when he won it.
Well, he's changed his game a little
bit
to feature Paul George more than was happening in the past, and I think that's a big part of the reason why they're winning more games this year.
And it's a shame to those with the Warriors that they may not be nearly in contention for consideration for MVP because everybody thinks, oh, yeah, they should be there because of the team that they have. And so we'll see. But it's going to be – while I agree with you, I think the Coach of the Year award is probably cut and dry. It's going to be an interesting MVP decision at the end of the year for these voters.
Is the Rookie of the Year decision cut and dry at this point as well?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything Trey can do to get back? No, there's nothing he can do. I agree with you. I don't think so either.
You don't want Doncic to get an injury.
Of course not. But even if he did, he might have already won it anyway.
I mean, this dude is going between his legs. He's going from back to front and showing up guys, and he has his own step back jump shot as well. I know he's only 19, but man, oh man.
He's a baller.
You wonder what he would look like with this team here in Atlanta.
You do. I get that. That's always going to be a part of the conversation. Of course, they were traded for one another. I'm not going to discount anything Luka's doing. He is a great player, and it's really fun to watch him. But I do think it's unfair, though, to use that. And I'm not saying you're doing this, but a lot of people do this, where you take what Luka's doing as good as it is, and that just somehow eclipses what Trey's doing. Like, yes, Trey is not as good as Luka today. I 100% agree with that. But Trey's also having a nice rookie season.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, he's doing some stuff that certainly I didn't expect him to be able to do as a rookie. And his ability to pass the basketball is elite at this point of his career. I want to ask you a question about passing in a minute as well. But it's unfortunate that because Luka is playing so well, it's almost as if it's like a zero-sum game. There could only be one good rookie.
Right.
No, I mean, Trey's playing well also. Uh-huh. DeAndre Ayton's having an okay rookie season. Jaren Jackson Jr. in Memphis was having a nice year. He's kind of fallen off a little bit lately. Mm-hmm. But other rookies are also playing well. But Luka is the one who's dominating the coverage in the conversation. That's fine. I understand how that's how it goes. But if you wrote Trey off in November or December because of the way he played in those months, I would encourage you to come back and watch now because he's a different player.
Well, and what it does for the NBA as a league in total, it really gives a bright future for years to come because this crop that's coming in for the 2019 draft looks like it's going to be just as exciting as the 2018 draft guys. I mean, Duke could have three guys within the top five picks.
Yeah.
And I forget the young man's name, the guard who was setting it on fire a couple of months ago, and it seems like you don't hear much about him. I forget the
school.
Where
is he playing now? There's a bunch of...
It's a school in Ohio, I want to say.
Oh, Murray State. Yeah, Morant.
Yes.
That dude is crazy.
You've got guys like that, and there's going to be other additional international players that I expect to be drafted in this first round. And the fact that the Hawks may have three, if not four, first-round picks, the future certainly looks bright for them. But I think I always look at things when it comes to the draft as to how it shapes up for the league moving forward than individual teams. Obviously, we're a little selfish here because of Atlanta. But from a league standpoint, you want to see the league continue at the pace it's on. And you don't want to go through that low and it drops off and you wonder, well, can the NBA get it back? And all those questions start to surface like it has in previous years. But I think the future is very, very bright for the NBA with a lot of this young talent. And you can only cherish what these guys bring to the table and hope they grow into the players we expect them to be.
Before we get out of here, who's the best passer in the NBA right now? Because what LeBron and Trey were doing the other night was two guys going back and forth trying to outpass each other. That was I don't remember ever seeing that before in an NBA game where you see guys go back and forth at each other with offensive moves and shots and stuff like that. They were trying to outdo each other with dimes.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch.
Bird and Magic used to do that a lot.
Okay.
Maybe guys like Iverson and Isaiah.
Okay.
But right now, I think the best passer is in Denver. Jokic.
Oh, that's a great call.
The dude is
tremendous. He's a hell of a passer.
And there are times when he's hitting his own teammates in the back of the head because they're not paying attention. But he is a tremendous passer for his size.
John Elway should sign him.
Yeah.
He's better than Flacco and Case Keenum and all those other bums he's got out there. Maybe that's Elway's move, is to sign Nikola Jokic.
I like what he does on the floor. And Denver's been consistent. We're automatically giving Mike Budenholzer the Coach of the Year award, but Mike Malone is certainly going to get a lot of votes for Coach of the Year. So don't discount him. But I like what Denver's been able to do. We'll see if they're able to sustain it because they may hate having this 1 week break because you know they're not going to be thinking and picking up a basketball until they get back maybe next Wednesday.
Right.
But you hope that some of these teams are able to maintain the consistency they've shown over the first 50, 60 games of the season, because now is when it matters most. And we're going to see just how serious some of these teams are and how capable they may be of perhaps knocking off the Warriors for the title.
That's going to do it for this episode. Sorry, trying not to cough. This episode of the Basketball Show podcast. I'm going to go take some more medicine. You can follow us on social media as always. I'm at TBM929, the Bunker Mentality, at TBM929.
And I'm suffering like you now.
See, I got you sick.
I'm at XHoops PR Guy.
And you can follow the show at the B-Ball Show 929 as well. And again, thanks very much for being with us. We'll be back after the All-Star break.
Yes,
enjoy the All-Star game.
From way downtown. Bang!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.